Does the career make the man, or does man find the career that matches his personality? Let me say it again. Does the career make the man, or does the man find the career that matches his personality? Because I'm starting to believe that people find the career that matches their personality. Whether they know it or not. Because, you know, a lot of people go to college for a certain degree or whatever, and they don't even follow that degree. They go into something else. And I think personalities are made in careers, but they're also, they find the career that they like, you know. So it's a combination of both, I guess. Because I'm the kind of person, I just don't like to lollygag around, and some, you know, if something breaks, I want to fix it, you know. Hey, the light bulb's broke, the light fixture's broke, the bulb's out, light fixture, something. So go in there and get it done and change it out and move on to the next thing. I don't like to lollygag around about anything. Like even doctrine, even I learned, okay, once saved, always saved. I've learned it. Okay, what's next? Faith alone in Jesus alone. What's next? I want to know the truth, and I want to move to the next level. I can't, once I settle something in my mind, yes, eternal security, 100%. Because if you could lose eternal life, that's an oxymoron, because it's eternal. You can't lose eternal. It's eternal. The word eternal means forever. The Bible says you will have eternal life. You don't lose eternal. I mean, even the people who say that you can lose your salvation, they don't understand what the word eternal means. Eternal life, born again. That's why all Pentecostals are a cult. I mean, they're actually kind of dumb, to be honest with you. You can lose your salvation. No, you can't. It's eternal. You must be born again. You have eternal life. How can you lose something that's eternal? You can't. Get a brain. Wake up. You're believing your own ideas. You're not believing the word. You're going by your own understanding. And so you're going to have to crucify yourself. Crucify your own understanding. Crucify your own ideas and believe the word. I know when I was married, I'd say, look, You're taking it out of context. You got to read it in the context. You got to let the word interpret the word. The Bible interprets itself. You can't take it out of context. This is why there's men preachers. You don't have women preachers, because you can't go by emotions. You got to go by truth. And so when you put the truth above emotions, then you got some sound doctrine. You can't go by feeling. What's the truth? The truth is the truth is the truth. And then it'll make you feel good. I got a sheriff in front of me. A sheriff van. I ain't seen one of those in a long time. If you crucify your emotions, read the truth, rightly divide the word, believe the Bible, put it in context, the whole Bible. Don't take pieces out and parts out. It has to be within the whole. You read one Bible verse, it has to match the whole. That's why he says rightly divide the word of truth. You have to look at the whole, look at the parts, and then look at the whole. The Greeks, the way the Greeks teach or taught is they'd look at the whole. Okay, I see the whole. Then you look at the parts. Okay, I see the parts, and then you go back and read the whole, and oh, okay, it fits a pattern. It fits perfectly. The whole, the parts, the whole. And then if you really want to take it, you go to the whole, the parts, the whole, the parts, the whole, the parts, the whole, the parts, and you always do that pattern. And when you do that pattern, the whole, the parts, the whole, the parts. I don't care what it is. If it's true about the Bible, it's true about your working on your car, your house, construction, electrical, plumbing, heating and air. Look at the hull. Look at the parts. Hold the parts. Hold the parts. Hold the parts. You look at the hull. I don't care what it is. Relationship. I don't care. Reading a book. Any kind of book. Read the hull. Look at the parts. Look at the hull. And you'll get a better understanding. Engineering. Mechanical engineering. Electrical. Biological. You have to continually do that, especially with medical. You look at the hull. You look at the parts. You take a sample of population, 1,000 people. Look at the hull. Then you look at the parts. Look at the hull. Look at the parts. Look at the hull. Look at the parts. That's how this life is set up. And anybody who doesn't think like that, I really don't have time for them. I don't really have time for them because they're just looking at piecemeal. I really can't even talk to them. And that sounds mean, but that's what I'm saying. I just can't do the fluff. I just can't do the fluff. I went to Hobby Lobby to get some mirrors for a little space on the wall. And I just couldn't do it. Thank God that some lady opened up another register, and I went. I asked the lady in front of me, said, "Do you want to go there?" She said, "Go ahead." She had a bunch of stuff. I said, "Thank you." I just couldn't handle all the slowpoke, fluff talk. Look at this. Don't you like this? No, I don't really. I mean, they're talking to each other. Don't you like this? Look at this. It's like you're slowing me up. You're slowing me down. What's the people at the register? Oh, this is so nice and blah blah blah. The lady checking out the ladies at the register, and I'm thinking, come on, I gotta go. I'm on my lunch break. Let's get this done. Let's get this show on the road. I ain't got time for fluff. And that's just the way I think, because you know you have a destination. You know they say enjoy the journey. That's fine. You can enjoy the journey, but at the same time, once you conquer something, move on to the next. Once you conquer a topic, move on to the next topic. Once you ran it into the ground enough, let's move to the next thing. I guess because I've been in all kinds of industries, you know, if somebody says, look at this flower, or look at this decoration or whatever, I'm sitting here thinking, well, do you know how what it took to make that? To build it is what I'm thinking. How did you make that? Did you put it through an extrusion machine and put it in a mold, whatever it is, the frame? What kind of saw did you use to build the frame on that picture or whatever? You know, I'm not looking at the fluff. And so when I was looking for truth, it's the same concept. Yeah, I can hear 1,000 people talking fluff, but I want concrete truth. I don't want sinking sand. I want something to stand on. I want absolute solid ground to stand on. I don't want some kind of maybe it's this or maybe it's that. No, the Bible's absolute. And if you can't have absolute truth, if you don't speak absolute truth, or if there's nobody speaking absolute truth, I got to go somewhere else. I need something to stand on. Because if nobody knows the truth, we're in a bad situation. And that's why you have to rightly divide the word so that you can get a concrete, sound doctrine. Doctrine goes back to Dr. Jesus. Sound goes back to Son. The Son, Jesus, it's all flowing from Him, through Him, and to Him. So whether it's sound, S-O-U-N, if you unfold it, goes back to Son. Doctrine goes back to Doctor. Truth goes back to Dr. Jesus, the Son. And so if you don't have anything concrete, sound doctrine, whether it's marriage, whether it's a job, whether it's anything in life, you have to have a concrete, stable ground to stand on, because if you don't, it's all unstable. And the Bible talks about that in Proverbs. put no confidence in an unfaithful person. If they're wishy-washy and up and down and left and right, walk away. Or you don't even necessarily have to walk away. Just you know what they are. You don't trust them because they change with the wind. If somebody's changing with the wind, they're double-minded. And you can't depend on a double-minded person. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. So my point is, when you got double-minded people around you, get away from them, or just keep some boundaries and distance, because I don't care who it is. You better not marry a double-minded woman, because a double-minded woman will destroy your house. A wise woman builds her house, but the foolish woman plucks it down with her hands, you know? And if you read Proverbs, it'll keep you safe, because you'll see what kind of people they are. If they're double-minded, you waste no time on them. I don't care about your feelings. Go by truth. It might break your heart, but walk away. Eventually, you'll get over it, you know? When I talk like this, it gives me strength and purpose and power, because I can't handle the fickleness and the fluff and the maybe I'm saved, maybe I'm not. No, you're either saved or not. You either have eternal life or you don't. God is not a fickle God. Yeah, but what happens when you do wrong? That's the flesh. It's not who you really are. You're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. What happens when you do wrong? Well, God's going to scourge every son he receives. God will scourge you. If you've never had a scourging, then you're not his. Hello? If you've never been taken to the woodshed and had a scourging, then you're not his. The devil doesn't spank his own. He lets you destroy yourself. A scourging. People hate that. God is going to scourge every son he receives. Hey. And the reason is, he's got to make you holy, because you're a sinner and your sin stinks to the high heaven. It stinks so bad, it's not a sweet smelling offering to God at all. It's all about offering, right? You see that when people are burning in hell forever. It's a sweet smelling offering. They're burnt. Why? They're trying to be their own sacrifice. So it points to Jesus, because they have to burn forever because Jesus paid it all. Somebody said the other day, she said, I hope there's a hell. I said, there is. Because all the evil people in the world. Well, we're all evil. We all deserve hell. I wish there wasn't a hell, because I wish mankind, everybody would run to Jesus. But the hell wasn't made for man anyway. It was made for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for mankind. Mankind, God wants all, would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That's Bible. Hell was not made. This is Bible too. Hell was not made for man, but for the devil and his angels. But mankind chooses to go there and follow the devil and worship themselves. And so what's going to happen? They're going to burn forever, and it's a sweet smelling offering, a burnt offering going up before God to remind you of what Jesus did at the cross, his son. The sacrifice of his son. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood. And so I just can't do fluff. I can't do half truth. There is a truth. You know, the New Age people say, well, maybe a new earth, maybe reincarnation. No, there's no reincarnation. When you die, you either go to the Bema seat as a saved person, or you go to a great white throne judgment as a lost person. So, my little trip to Hobby Lobby was a good thing, because it motivated me to remind people there ain't no fluff in truth. There ain't no maybe in truth. It's absolute truth, or it ain't truth at all. Truth doesn't have a fickleness about it. It's absolute. If somebody says, well, I'm going to be there, I'm going to help you put the floor down at 10 o'clock tomorrow, and they don't show up, and they call and say, I'll be there next weekend. No, that's all right. You didn't call, you didn't show up, I'm done. If I can't depend on you, I don't need to see you anymore. I'd rather hire somebody I can depend on. Same with truth. If the Bible didn't support itself, when you rightly divide the Bible, you see the Bible interprets itself, and it all is one holographic truth. The Bible's hologram. And no matter what you read, you're going to see the same truth. The flesh, the energy of man versus the power of God. That's what you're going to see on every page of the Bible.